I've been speaking for years now about health and teaching people how to eat. Have any of you heard my talks about health and diet or anything like that? And some people like to hear that, but most people don't want to be told what to eat. But that's the message that Yahweh had put on my heart, is to tell people what we should be eating, how we should be taking care of our health. People don't want to take responsibility for their own health, and they want to blame their issues on other people. But people don't want to hear that. So I was just praying and hopeful maybe Yahweh would put a better message on my heart that people would like to hear. So then he taught me about modesty and opened my eyes up to the immodesty of today's world. And if there's one thing people don't want to hear about more than eating, it's how to dress. So I was like, what is going on? So he's using me to tell people what they don't want to hear. One day he'll give me a message that maybe people want to hear or should hear. And I kept thinking about this, praying about this. And I used to be very against street evangelism, open air preaching, street evangelism, whatever we want to call it. See, I wasn't a believer growing up in New York City. I was first an atheist and then I was a New Ager. So I've been blessed to have the wisdom and knowledge of how to speak to a New Ager, an atheist, because I was one of them. So that's the situation I was in New York City. And I remember going to work on the subway in New York City and seeing a guy on the train evangelizing, telling people about the gospel. And I thought, like everyone else, this guy is absolutely crazy and out of his mind. Nobody's listening to him. Why is he here? And even Christians were thinking, you know, he's not reaching anybody. This isn't a good way to evangelize. So I was thinking that, didn't think about it much until I became a believer. And I still had to struggle with, is this a good way to get the word out about Yeshua? Street evangelizing, open air preaching, whatever you want to call it. But it doesn't have to be standing on some corner. You know, it's spreading the gospel. What is the best way, and is there a worse way, or is there even a bad way? So I was trying to get this information out. I'm thinking about this information. And then I remember thinking it was wrong, bad. I was in New York City in Union Square, which is quite popular. I was sitting there, and I was watching this young kid street evangelize. And he was given the word, and it was a man dressed as a woman that stopped to argue with him. It wasn't Bruce Jenner, but it was a man dressed as a woman arguing with him about what he was saying. And the kid wasn't even arguing with him. The kid was just sticking to scripture, reading the scripture. But this man or woman or shim or whatever you want to call it was just going at him and going at him. And that's when it hit me. And I had one of those moments that now this is what I need to be doing. Because demons cannot leave the presence of scripture. Every single person that walked past that kid evangelizing was either lukewarm or had no issues or anything else. But the demons will oppose hearing scripture. They'll oppose hearing the words. Even in scripture, the man possessed ran up to Yeshua and asked Yeshua to cast him out and put him into the pigs. They ran up to him. Demons cannot leave the presence of scripture. You will see, if you do see street evangelism anywhere, you will see the people come up against him. And realize that that man dressed as a woman stood there for over a half hour arguing with this kid or trying to get his attention or something else. And what did I see? That man hearing scripture for a whole half hour. And that made a completely different impression on me. So then my heart was, I'm going to go out and do this. But then I had the dilemma of, well, where am I going to evangelize? Because, and what names am I going to use and all of this? Well, first I figured maybe I should be going to the church because they certainly aren't living according to Scripture. And they're saying they are. But we are called to be light in the darkness. And I went out. It was first 2 years ago when I first went out. And I had an experience, but I still had figure out how the best way would be to do it. And then it's been about 4 months now since I've been going out on a weekly basis. And through the internet, there's a lot of people that are doing this. And I'm really learning a lot based on the feedback that I'm getting from the demons. To give you an example, this man, a drunk Mormon, came up to me once to argue with me or discuss with me, or he was yelling and screaming. The demon in him was, you know, and I finally said, I'm not going to come back after you drink, after you know, because I'm not going to have a discussion with somebody who's drunk. Well, I looked at the video later that evening, and he said on the video, before he came up to actually present himself to me, he goes, I've been listening to this garbage for 3 hours, and I'm going to say something. Praise Yahweh, a Mormon heard the gospel for 3 hours. It works, folks. It really does work. Now, not all of us are called to be open-air preachers. I know that. People remind me of that all the time. Christians remind me of that all the time. But we're all called to go and proclaim the gospel. It's our responsibility as a believer. And you need to ask yourselves, when is the last time you told somebody you know that Yeshua died for them? When is the last time you told somebody you don't know Yeshua died for them? And people will think, well, maybe once years ago or twice years ago. We have no problem walking up to a stranger and asking them for directions somewhere, but we get all nervous and everything else to ask somebody about, you know, tell somebody about Yeshua dying for them. That's not scriptural, folks. We need to let people know, and we need to let them know every day, and it's going to be my responsibility for my own self, every single person that knows me. They already call me legalist because I follow the scriptures, but every single person that knows me is going to hear that Yeshua died for them. He died for me, he died for them, he died for all of us. What they decide to do with it, that's up to them. You know, we don't have a responsibility or an obligation to defend him dying for us. We don't have an obligation, we don't have to convince somebody to accept him. It is our responsibility to let them know. And every single person I know, no one is going to say they've never heard it. What they do with that, that's up to them. If somebody says, well, is that person a Christian? Well, I'm not sure, I don't know. No, you know when somebody has a passion to let them know what's going on. If somebody came up to you in the street, pulled out a gun and was about to pull the trigger, and somebody else jumped in front of that bullet and died, you would remember that every day for the rest of your life, and most likely let everyone know for the rest of your life. Well, somebody did die for us, and we got to let people know, because we are called to be watchmen and to warn people about these things. And it's the most scriptural thing we can do on a daily basis. We don't need anything but us to go out there and be a light in the darkness. Mark 16:15, and I'm going to give many scriptures to back this up. Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a command. This is the scripture, and this is what it tells us. It's one thing to go to a church or an assembly or a congregation and give them a lecture that they already heard, tickle their ears, but it's a whole other thing to go out in the street and do it in front of strangers. It's a whole other thing, and this is what we need to be doing. But street preaching today or street evangelism is looked at odd or crazy. The good news should be proclaimed everywhere. That's not crazy or odd or anything else. But the reason why it looks so crazy in today's world is, first of all, the enemy is against it. The enemy is against it. So he's not going to make this look good according to the world, because most people of this world love the enemy more than they love our Creator. Yeah. So it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Yeshua, who is the exact likeness of our wonderful Creator. The enemy is against it. That's number one, why it's so odd in today's world to street evangelize or see a person on the street proclaiming the good news. Then we look at the world being against it itself. Mark 13:13 says, everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm in the end will be saved. The world is against this. I have police officers come up to me and tell me I can't be dead doing this thing while there's men walking by holding hands, women walking by half naked, people stumbling drunk in front of me, and they're telling me I can't be standing there telling people about Yeshua dying for them so they can have life. Even the church today is against it. The word repent has become a curse word in the church today. We are to let people know, as the scripture says, repent, accept Yeshua. That's it. But the church will say, oh, share your testimonial, but don't mention the word repent. We don't want to scare people off. We see what their motivation truly is. Street preaching works. And I think of somebody saying, well, how many people have you actually reached doing this? It's not about numbers, folks. It's not about accounting how many people actually did the sinner's prayer right in front of you or anything, anyone else. Has any of you ever heard of A.W. Tozer? Yes. A.W. Tozer was not a believer, and he was walking off from work one day, and he heard a street evangelist, and the street evangelist told him, if you want to be saved, go home and pray and ask how and accept Yeshua. as Messiah. He did that, and we see he went on to go and write all these amazing books, and that street evangelist probably never even knew that. That it was something he said that was used to turn that into good. So why does this work? Why is it so important? And why is it such a blessing to do this? And one of the number one reasons I'll tell people is because it presents the gospel to people that would have never ordinarily heard it. Because they're not going to a congregation, a church, or assembly, because most people around them are scared to mention something about that. Most Christians are afraid to say repent. So it's presenting the gospel to people that normally wouldn't have heard it. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching." There's scripture after scripture after scripture talking about this. We need to make sure, just like I make sure, that all the people we know what we believe. You know, being called a legalist, I tell everyone, if you're keeping the scriptures, that take that as a compliment. Don't get upset, offended by it or anything like that. But to say, oh, that guy, all he does is talk about Yeshua. That's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. I want people to recognize me as that person. Amen. 1 Corinthians 16:23 says, "Sing to Yahweh all the earth, proclaim the news from day to day of His salvation, Yeshua." It is a command, folks. We need to be doing this. You know, they have "What would Yeshua do?" or "What would Yeshua do?" Well, He would do exactly what He taught others to do, and that is to go out there and to proclaim the gospel amongst the darkness of this world today, to be a light in the darkness. You know, Yeshua didn't have to cast demons out, you know, in front of big crowds. He could have did it in private. He could have did it in the small crowds, but He did it in big crowds because He wanted to bring attention to the glory of Yahweh. And that's what we are called to do. We're called to go out there and do this. And it doesn't only have to be on a street corner yelling and screaming. You know, you don't even have to say a word, some people. It's their actions that are going to do that. And what people don't see often is it's not me out there doing what I'm doing. It's my team that's with me that's handing out tracts or talking to people one-on-one. That's where the real fruit is. And it's working. And it does work because that's what we're following the example of in Scripture. In the Old Testament, in the Renewed Covenant, it's all there. We look at Ezra, we look at Jeremiah, we look at Ezekiel, we look at Isaiah, we look at all of them. This is exactly what they did. So why shouldn't we follow the example of these people? You go through the Renewed Covenant, you got John the Baptist, you got Paul, you got Peter, and you got Yeshua himself. Every great sermon in Scripture ever given was done in the open air. It wasn't done to invite a whole bunch of people to come hear what they came there to hear. It was there to go and give the truth in the street. And we look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah probably proclaimed and street preached more than anyone else in the Scripture. Jeremiah 2:1-2 says, "Yahweh gave me another message. He said, 'Go and shout this message to Jerusalem.'" He was sent straight to the king's house, standing at the king's gate as they're coming in and they're going out. Give them the message. They needed to hear this. They need us to hear this, but, you know, it says our ears are closed, our eyes are closed. It's a wonderful Creator who's opening people's eyes. That's another thing we have to understand. We are not going there and opening people's eyes. We're not going there and convincing people of anything. It's Yahweh who opens the eyes when somebody is ready. Amen. And when they're going to be ready is for them to seek. And when they seek, and He sees them seeking, that's when they're going to find. But we're trained not to seek today. We're not trained to go out and mention the word rebuke today. But that's exactly what Jeremiah did. Jeremiah 17:9 said, "This is what Yahweh said to me. Go and stand in the gates of Jerusalem. First in the gate where the king goes in and out, and then each of the other gates." Going straight, just like Paul. Paul's a great example. Going straight to the source. You know, we have disconnected from the Bible, and that's the big problem we have today. We don't really understand the Scripture. Because we just disconnected from it. Paul's greatest passion and mission of life was to proclaim Yeshua. The gospel, the salvation of Yeshua. And who did he want to take it to? Straight to Rome, to the emperor Caesar of Rome. That was his goal. But we hear Rome, we don't get upset because Rome's a vacation destination. Well, if you understand Scripture, do you understand Rome back then was like going in the middle of Syria or Iraq and going to preach to the leader of ISIS? There's no fear when you're going out there to proclaim the good news of Yeshua. Moses was one thing, taking it to the Pharaoh, but Paul going to the Caesar or the Emperor of Rome, that's like me saying, I'm going to go to ISIS and proclaim this news. Just like everyone with Paul said, oh, don't go there. Please don't go there. No, we got to go and go everywhere. Go into the darkness, the darkest place you can find. Yahweh will protect you. And darkness place doesn't mean some dark alley in some bad area of some city. Darkness can be right in the most popular area where the people are walking around with their kids. Because there's sin flooding the streets today. Evidence of it is everywhere. The floors are flooded with it. The evidence is there, and that's what we need to proclaim the good news. I tell people all the time, if I give you a lecture and you agree with everything I heard, you haven't learned a thing. It might make you feel good, but you haven't heard learned a thing. It's when you disagree. It's when you have questions that you can be challenged to look at things. That's when you start learning. Well, it's the same thing with preaching. Yeshua didn't take this message. He said that sick people need a doctor, not the healthy people. We need to go and let people know that don't want to hear it. Not the people that know it. We need to get this message out to the world, and we need to let them know. Jeremiah 7, 1 and 2 says again, the word came to Jeremiah from Yahweh saying, stand in the gate of Yahweh's house, proclaim their word, and say, hear the word of Yahweh, all of you Judah, then enter into these gates to worship Yahweh. You understand, the gates were the most busiest part of the city. I see some street preachers, they go out, and I look around, and nobody's there at all. You know, they say if a tree falls in the wood, no one's there to hear it. Did it make a sound? You know, we need to go and not be ashamed to the crowded streets where sin is just flooding the streets and go out there and be a light in this darkness. That's what we need to do. We need to preach it. But we have to understand there's a difference. There's between testifying, teaching, witnessing, and preaching. There's a difference of all these things. And we got to understand this and put this in the right perspective. Witnessing is how you interact with sinners on a daily basis. That is going to make, you're going to be a witness. 2 Corinthians 11:4 says, you happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Yeshua than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed. We need to be a witness and show people in our actions, not just our words, because if we're preaching the good news and we're not living up to that and following that, that's a false testimonial. We need to go out there and be a witness. We need to understand how this is affecting people and affecting society and affecting everything. If there was a street preacher on every corner, we would not be in the situation we are in right now. Psalms 94:16 says, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up against the workers of iniquity? When we hear these things, how many people have any desire to go out there and let others know about this? We might need to figure this out, but to be embarrassed or shameful or scared to go out there and tell somebody about Yeshua? Somebody said, oh, I'm worried about you. I said, it's not me you need to be worried about. You need to be worried about the people I'm giving this message to. Those are the people in great danger. If there was a building on fire and these people were on the top floor and they didn't know, would you be worried about me screaming and yelling them to get out? Or would you join me to tell them, get out? Well, people are in great danger, folks. And we need to let them know. We need to go and we need to tell others. Luke 14:23 says, and to the master he said, to the servant, go out in the highways and the hedges, compel the people to come in so my house may be filled. We are commanded over and over and over again in Scripture to do this. As a matter of fact, you know, somebody says, how do you know this works? And I was thinking, what's the best answer I can give somebody that this works? And I was watching a street preacher on the internet, and he gave the best answer you can possibly give. He said, that's how I got saved. Mm-hmm. How can you argue with that? As a matter of fact, when somebody told me about Yeshua and Yahweh, I was thinking about it a week later. I was in Toronto, and on the top of a payphone was a track. The next day, I was on another payphone, there was a track. It works. It works. It made a big enough impression on me to say, what is this about? So we're handing out these tracks, and people are looking at them, people are reading them, people are getting them. This is what we have to do in this work. Then you got testifying. Testifying is to acknowledge openly what Yeshua has done for you. And we could all do that. People say, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Go out there and tell your testimony. I heard a story once. This guy was on a plane, and there was a lady next to him, and he was reading his Bible, and she looks over to him, and she says, you know, I see a lot of people reading the Bible and proclaiming to be Christians and everything else. And she asks him, she says, how do you know that is true? How do you know what that Bible says is true? And the guy started turning to Scripture, and he was about to give us some Scripture. He said, wait a second. I don't want to hear from some fun book. I want to know from you. And he was so used to preaching out of a book, he didn't know what to say. So he said, excuse me a second. He got up, he ran to the bathroom, and he prayed. I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to proclaim Yeshua. I don't know how to do anything without the Scriptures. Give me a word to say. And Yahweh told him back, to share your testimonial of how he came into your life. And that's what the guy went back there and did. And that's all you got to do to start out. Just go out there and let strangers know. Let your friends know. And let everyone know of what he's done for you and how you got saved. And then let them know why it's so important that they understand they're in great danger and time is running out. I'm going to be giving a talk about the amazing patience of our wonderful Creator. But patience will run out. So we need to do something soon, and we need to get right with this. Then you got teachers that are out there. Teachers that give the word to those who already are saved to get mature and learn and grow in it. And then finally you have the preaching. What will it benefit the lost? And to let them know how it's going to benefit them. Those who we are attempting to reach with the gospel. We need to preach this, and we need to let them know how it's going to benefit them. You know, and yes, we are called as believers to judge. We are called. That's the number one thing people tell me out there. They say, well, don't judge. Don't judge me. I say, well, you're judging me for judging you. But that's what they say. They say, don't judge me. The Scriptures call us to judge people, not to knock them down, but to lift them up. It tells us to judge righteously. You know, that's what the book says. There's even a book called Judges. So when somebody says, well, don't judge, I know they don't know their Scriptures. And I'm quick to let people know there's a greater judge than me coming. And he's going to judge your condemnation, not me. I'm judging to help you out, to let you know. I wasn't great danger. It says don't judge hypocritically. Don't judge somebody something you're struggling with. But you've overcome somebody. You're the greatest person to judge somebody. And I've overcome the sickness, the disease of this world. I've overcome the darkness of this world. You know, disease. What's the opposite of disease? Disease is another word for discomfort. What's the opposite of that? Comfort. I'll let people know they got a comforter. People need to know the truth. The truth will set them free if they just would understand about repenting and not making it a curse word like the church has today. The problem is the church teaches, tell somebody to go and accept Yeshua and repent. Accept Yeshua and repent. Accept Yeshua and repent. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says repent and accept Yeshua. Amen. We need to get that right and understand this so people get this and they stick with it and it stays with them. Billy Graham and Joel Osteen and all these other mega church teachers, what they're teaching people is just a half gospel, a half truth. Just what they want to hear, tickling ears and everything else. Not mentioning the word repent. And Billy Graham said himself, maybe 10% of the people that ever came up to accept Yeshua, within a year later, they're just back to their same sinful ways. Nothing has changed. When you accept Yeshua, something is supposed to change. Your heart. Your heart. To love what he loves and hate what he hates. And we're going to be talking about this when we do my talk on Friday afternoon in the second session. We're going to be talking about this. Mark 1:15. Time is fulfilled and the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Go out there and say that over and over again like a broken record. And the more people that come up against you and say something, the louder you need to shout it. You know, that's what preach means. It means to shout. That's what we need to do, to shout the gospel in the streets. Now, I don't have to shout anymore because I learned. I used to be out there. I lost my voice. I couldn't go 2 days in a row. But now I have my megaphone, I have my microphone, and I have all this, and I can just talk calmly. So now I'm not sounding like a crazy man. I look like a crazy man, but I'm not sounding like a crazy man out there proclaiming the good news. I'm talking to my microphone. You know, and I'll go to a secular event where they have people singing about every sin in the Bible in microphones with big loudspeakers. Somebody says, oh, that's kind of rude. Why do you need a loudspeaker? So people can hear me over that. And then people say, well, you know, I'm kind of offended because I'm trying to be out here and have a good time. And if you want to say what you have to say, why can't you say it without a microphone? I said, well, why don't you go to those musicians on stage and tell them the same thing? Why don't you sing without a microphone? Listen to what they're saying. You want to listen to their music? I got the sweetest music you've ever heard. It's called Scripture. You know, you need to open up that music book and look at it. You know, and of all the people that come up against me, you know who comes up against me the worst? The most? Christians. Oh, I don't agree with this. I don't agree with what you're doing. I don't like what you're doing. You know, they're just a person is known by its fruit, it says in the Scriptures. A person is known by their fruit. So what I did, now I got a sign for those that can't hear me. I got a big sign. You know, and this, you know, and my brother back there was with me holding a sign one night. You know, and it's one thing to say something people can't hear, but they see that sign loud and clear. And people come up to you and they curse at you, they throw stuff at you, and everything else. You know, and we don't have it half as bad as they had it in the Scriptures. You know, but what's happening is people are encouraged to go out there and do this. They're encouraged to go out there and publicly proclaim Yeshua as Messiah. Right here, John came out with me a couple of times to film what I was doing. Next thing you know, he says, I want to go and proclaim the word. He had a great message about Yahweh taking what's good, turning bad, what's bad, to something good. Wonderful. So we have all these on the internet, and people are seeing it on the internet, and that's even getting more people interested in this. I can't tell you how many people have been encouraged after seeing that on the internet. They've been encouraged to go out there and say, oh, I haven't done that in years. I'm going to go out there now and I'm going to go do this as well. Or somebody saying something to that effect. We need to be a light in this darkness. It says, you know, a light for the path. It's a narrow road and there's a wide road. That narrow road is the road that has the light. That's it. And there's a narrow gate. But people can't see that narrow road. They're so stuck in their darkness. And they love darkness more than they love light. You know, we were out in front of the Taylor Swift concert the other night. And I can't believe. You know, I said, how could you take your kids to a place like this? And then I looked up and saw the parents and I understood why. You know, this is just, the enemy has deceived us all to enjoy darkness more than we enjoy light. So I hand out these tracks, and I have some here to show people what it is, and it's just letting people know so they could take that home, so they could read it, so they could look at it. You know, what they do with that, that's up to them. That's not up to you. I'm going to take questions in a moment. But we need to get out there, and we went out the other night to Walmart right out here. You know, and not that many people were out, but there were a couple of people out, and we made sure they had, every person we saw in Walmart, we left there, they all had their tracks. You know, and I just let people know, you know, if, you know. One time a lady said, well, you can't give these out. You can't give the written word. This was a cop. She goes, you can't give the written word out because people are throwing it on the floor. And that's littering. And we're going to give you a fine. I said, well, I saw a bunch of Coke cans on the floor. I don't see you contacting the Coca-Cola company and trying to give them a fine. You know, Yahweh will prevail. And as a matter of fact, I come to think of it, two things. When I was listening to that kid preaching with that man dressed as a woman, another guy came up to him and started with him, and then out of nowhere, this big muscle-bound guy came in a t-shirt and said, he's going to preach and nobody's going to bother him. And he just stood there like this the whole time. And that's not the first time that has happened. And the greatest thing is when I was listening to that kid preach and thinking about this, yes, now this is what I got to be doing, this is how. I remembered the face of that guy in that subway, everything he was saying, exactly what he was saying, and I even remembered the sound and the tone of his voice. What an impression it made on me when I was at a bank a couple of days later and that man was in front of me and I didn't say anything because here I am standing behind a crazy man. And then I went up to the teller and I said, you know, I saw that guy in the train preaching, and that lady said, this man is rich, loaded. You know, there's a panhandler. You know, I go on the street in front of, with a sign in front of Walmart we went, and I pull, they come down, I say, look, I know people usually come up to you asking you for money or something, but we're just giving you something. Now, when's the last time somebody came up to give you something? And we gave them a track. And they're stuck at the red light, and what are they going to do? They're going to read the track. You know, so wherever, there's so many places to go, and it's just changed my whole outlook on life and everything. To know it, you know, the rich man that let the poor man go free because he owed him his debt? The king, the guy, the servant owed the king money, and he said, you know what, I'm going to set you free. Go and be free. You know, I forgive your debt. But then that man went and told somebody else, well, you owe me my money, and I want it. And then the king found out, he said, now come back, I gave you a chance, and now you ask for somebody else. To know the gospel, to experience it, and not tell anyone is exactly what that person has done.
Amen.
To know it and not let other people about it. And that's what we're doing. And we don't realize it. But we look at the what happened to that man. He not only did he have to pay his fine, but he was a servant until he had to. He was set free and he had the opportunity, but he let it go. Time is running out. How many people, when is the last time you let somebody know Yeshua died for them? We need to think about them. But it's not going to be easy. You look back in history, and you look at, besides the scriptures and the gospel, and every single preacher in the scriptures open air preaching, you look at some other popular people in scriptures, George Whitefield, John Wesley, Jonathan Edwards, William Booth, Charles Spurgeon, D.L. Moody. These are names you heard of, but you don't understand. Today it's different. You could see people with videos and audios and hear them on the street preaching and doing things like this. But these things, these people did this thing every day. If there's not enough room in the building, I'll go outside. I'm not going to let that stop me. It's much more cost effective to preach outside than inside. You don't have to pay rent on a building or anything else. That's what these people did. How amazing would it have been to have a video of Yeshua and the disciples preaching out there on the street? Well, we got these opportunities. Just go on YouTube and type open air preaching. You know, the average Christian will say, well, I don't agree with that because the scriptures say to be loving and patient and kind. The most loving thing I do on a daily basis is tell people they need to repent or they're going to hell. The person that's unloving is the person that walks by and says nothing. They have this great opportunity. And I tell people, I'm not here. I don't have to be here. I don't have to be here. I'm here to let you know because somebody let me know. Somebody let us know. How did you find out? Whether your parents told you, somebody in church told you, or some stranger told you. Somebody told you that Yeshua died for them. How can you not go and tell other people about it? As a matter of fact, the person that told me is right there. That's another story when you hear my testimonial. But I was in pure darkness. You know, and I know how to talk to people in darkness. I understand what they think and how they think. You know, but somebody showed me the light over and over again, and I just kept walking by it. I'd rather prefer the darkness. Until Yahweh opened my eyes. Because that's when I started seeking. He's the one that opens our eyes. Is it for today? Is street preaching for today like it's always been? Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations. And then the end shall come. We need to make sure people can't say, they never heard that, they never knew that. I mean, we don't need to say a word. Just testifying all around us of Yahweh's wonderful creation. It's all around us. But people's ears are closed. We need to shout. We need to go stand, speak, and shout out there and do that. I was in Georgia a couple of weeks ago. 15 people came out with me that had never been out before. And every single one of them said the same thing I did. This is the greatest feeling they've ever had in their life. To go out there and let people know. Most of them were just handing out tracts. But three of them actually got to say something. They wanted to say something. You know, and they did. You know, and it was amazing. And after I bailed them out of jail, we had a great time. That's a blessing. Do you understand in Scripture? You know, Yahweh will provide the audience. That's something you need to understand. You know, whether that audience is other prisoners in jail, on the subway, or out in the park, He'll provide them. Remember, we're not here to proclaim the good news to people, to the healthy people. The sick people need a doctor, not a healthy people. So we got to do this. We have to, you know, experience this and see. I have a problem because I teach about health, and one of the most important things I teach is about sleep and getting enough sleep. But I have something called Yahweh insomnia. I come home from preaching. I might get home at 10:30 and I can't fall asleep till 3:30 in the morning. I'll call one of my friends up and I'll tell him, what can I do? Well, go back out there then if you got so much energy. So we do that. And sometimes there aren't a lot of people out there, but everyone has their own choice. One guy I came up to, he says, I don't believe in God. I said, well, that's your choice, but he's real. I tell people all the time, I got good news and I got bad news. The good news is God is real. And the bad news is God is real. And depending how they decide to live is going to determine if that's good news or bad news. So this one guy came up to me, he said, well, he didn't come up to me, I went up to him, he was sitting at a bar drinking, and he said, I don't believe in God. I said, well, why not? He said, well, I used to think I did, but one day I was home, somebody broke my house and shot me 6 times in the chest, and I survived. I said, well, there's 2 ways to look at that. Mm-hmm. You know? But he looked at it, the enemy got a hold of him, and he looked at it in a negative light. What a great testimonial that brother could have. Man. But that's the trick. That's what happens. He messed with a mind. Somebody once said the enemy can't harm us physically, but he can destroy us mentally. And that's what he's doing. How could we be nervous to go out and tell somebody Yeshua died for us? Well, I don't want to offend everyone. I'm so glad Yeshua wanted to offend me. Jeremiah wanted to offend everyone he offended and everyone else. You know, I'm not telling you your goal should be go out there to offend people, but I will tell you people will be offended by the truth. But that's not about us. You know, the people are in great danger. Your loved ones, your family, they're in great danger. You know, you need to pray for wisdom and knowledge and how you could best present this to them so they would get it. But if they get offended, you're just stirring up something inside them, because the Bible says the word cuts like a sword. You're stirring up something inside them. You know, so we need to do this more often. You know, find a good spot. Look on the internet. More and more people are doing this. We went out one night and it was raining, so nobody was out. So rain could be good and bad. This night it was bad. Nobody was out. So we're like, where are we going to go? So this one guy brought his 8-year-old son to come out with us to hand out tracts. And women, don't think you can't go out. There's a girl that comes out with us and she gives out tracts and she talks to the girls better than we could. But this little 8-year-old kid was with us to hand out tracts, but it rained so nothing happened. So what happened? Well, we said, well, let's go in front of the local sex shop with our bullhorn and start preaching. I said, are you sure? I said to the guy's father, you sure it's safe to take this kid there? He said, I didn't have a choice. I was leaving my house and he wanted to come. So we went there and the kid was on the bullhorn and we got it on video. Wow. We had 6 people that day turn around that were pulling in the parking lot. 6 people turned around. They were about to go in there and they saw us and they turned around. It helped that we were out in front telling them, go home to your wife. You don't need to go stay here and all this stuff. But we need to do that. And I'm sure that made those people think. And then the other night, it was just a couple of weeks ago, he was with us. It was raining. We went to the beach and it was raining. And everyone was under this little canopy so they don't get wet. It is a great place to preach. So I was under there and I started telling people about the gospel. And now they were thinking, should we stay here and listen to this guy or should we go out there and get wet? You know? So there was a lot of people that decided to go out there and get soaked. And I said, I have a different type of water to tell you about. And we went there, we baptized 2 people that day. You know, so we need to be a light in the darkness, and we need to get out there and have motivation to do it. And we might, if we could find a place where there's some people, we might go out while we're still here. And if you're interested in coming out with us, I have tracts to hand out. And I don't have my bullhorn, but we'll still go out there. If anyone wants to come out with us, find me. We might go out maybe Saturday night somewhere. If anyone knows the area, you know, a local, tell me the most dangerous place in this area. And after you go there and preach, tell me how it went. No, I'll go. I'll lead the way. I got a shirt. My shirt alone is the best sign. My shirt says, no excuse for your sin on the front. Yeshua is the way, the truth, and the light. Obey the Bible. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. Praise our Creator. Read and repent.
No alcohol. Is that what you're talking
about? I got another one that says, you know, put down the beer and pick up the Bible. You know? And people come stumbling past me and say, oh, you know, I'm being judgmental. Thank you very much. Thanks for the compliment. Somebody's got to tell you the truth.
That's right.
You know, and that's another thing. That's what I'm going to be teaching about on Friday. Because people say, well, you know, God loves me no matter what. You keep believing that lie. That is a lie. And I'm going to be talking about that, you know, because I say he loves those who love him and he hates those who love sin. And if you disagree with me, come to my lecture on Friday. Oh, he loves sinners that struggle with sin and want to get out of it, but those that love and desire their sin and they don't want to do anything about it. And it says man loves darkness more than they love light. So we need to let people know this. Oh, he loves me no matter what. If he loves us all no matter what, there's no reason to fear him. And the problem today in the church is people don't fear him. That's the issue. And that's what we're going to be talking about. We need to fear him, and that not we fear man more than we fear sin more than we fear our Creator, and that's the big problem. But we need to fear sin more than we fear the man. But we don't do that. If you see somebody coming around the corner and they have Ebola, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to run away. But if you see somebody around the corner and they have sin in their life, what are you going to do? You're going to run away from them? No, because we desire our flesh to be part of the darkness. We need to fear our Creator more than we fear man, but that's just not happening. And people tell me all the time, all the fears of this world, but they don't fear him. Go out there and proclaim the good news. I was told I'm supposedly 15 minutes for questions, so I'm going to do that now if you have questions. Yes, ma'am, you have questions.
I was going to say, I have this, it was a minor revelation, where the Lord was showing me the value of people, and that we are, the value that Christ shows us by dying for us, that we are that valuable. And there's such a lack of knowledge of knowing how valuable we really are to him. And, you know, people don't, they get into the, they don't care about the...
What's your question? I'm sorry, because we only have a song.
I kind of forgot.
Okay. Well, when you remember the question, just raise your hand. We'll get to it because I want to get to the question. But I will tell you this. We do not understand. We don't understand the significance of the word sin because we hear it so much. And he died for us. We need to understand he died for us. We hear that so much that we just take it as words. There's no emotion connected to that anymore. We have to understand if our friend died or a parent died or somebody we know died, we think about them all the time. We cry about it when we think about them dying. But Yeshua died for us, we just say it like it's no special thing. We need to think about that every single day. He didn't just die. He died for us so we could have life. The whole gospel is summed up in Proverbs 17:15. A righteous Elohim cannot set apart the wicked. Somebody had to die. And Yeshua took the place for us. But we think about that, and what do we do about that? We just use it as, oh, he died for us. That means something. Don't just say it. Yes.
This is a tiny, small question. How do people seem to be responding with you using Yeshua instead of Jesus? Because I know people were so accustomed to hearing that.
Well, that's a great question. The question was, how do people respond to using Yeshua instead of Jesus? And when I first started, that was my big dilemma. And that's what kept me from doing this for so long, is what am I going to say? Because I really feel we should be using Yeshua, but people don't know who Yeshua is. Well, on my tracks, I have in the back of my tracks, Yeshua and in parentheses, Jesus. I'm not there to give people a lesson about the name. I'm there to proclaim the gospel. That's one thing that's so important to understand when you're sharing this publicly. I take no apologetics. I'm not here to have discussions with people about the Bible. That's a distraction if somebody wants to start bringing out their Bible and have a discussion with me. No, I'm there to proclaim the good news of Messiah. I got my team there to talk to people one-on-one. I give people my phone number, my website if they want to call me. But I'm not going to have... I didn't go out there to have a conversation. I came out there to proclaim the news. But what I started saying when I first was out there was, in the name of Yeshua, Jesus... But then I wasn't comfortable with saying that, but now I say, and I'm very comfortable with it, in Yeshua, the one you call Jesus. It lets people know who I'm talking about, and it stirs up the question, well, what are you talking about? And I tell them if they read their scriptures and do some searching, they'll be able to know and understand. So now every video you see, and even on the radio shows I have and everything, if I'm teaching to the secular, I say, in Yeshua, the one you call Jesus. One lady, she said, she came up to us drunk, and she's cursing that she's Catholic and all this other stuff. She came up to a couple weeks later, and she came to apologize because she was sober now. We remembered who she was. How can we not? And then I was saying, you know, Yeshua, the one you call Jesus. She's like, that's what it was. You're a Muslim. It's on video because I was saying Yeshua, the one you call Jesus. She thought I was a Muslim or something. You know, people just aren't reading their scriptures. They don't understand. But, yeah. So I'll send them to my website. I have a website, readandrepent.com, because I'm not sending them to my website with all my information. It's kind of overwhelming for a person just getting into this. So I created a website called readandrepent.com, which are just videos for beginners to what they need to be doing and how. Yes?
Do you really think that the people you call Christians who oppose you are really Christians? John Wesley has a sermon, The Almost Christian. And I would argue vehemently with you that anybody who proposes the proclamation of the gospel is not a Christian.
Well, that's exactly how I feel when people say to me, oh, I don't like your approach. How can you have a bad approach of proclaiming the good news? You know, but again, I was turned off by it at one point as well. So I understand that. Like I said, he had to open my eyes to see the demons can't leave the presence of Scripture. And it's not a bad thing I'm doing. I'm not starting a fight. I'm trying to help somebody. You know, so a lot of people out there right now, even in the Messianic community, I'll get an email. I don't agree with your approach because it says to be loving and gentle and kind. So it's not necessarily the gospel that they're going against. It's they just really don't like the approach. I was like, okay, you go out there and show me how it should be done. You know, so, you know, it's not necessarily they don't like the gospel, they don't like the approach, but still, I do believe they should open their eyes and encourage these people. We had a whole group of young kids come up. I think you were with us that night, possibly. A whole bunch of young kids came up to us, and they said, we hear a lot of hate coming out over here. We hear a lot of hate coming out here. I said, well, you need to hear the message. This is a message of love. You know, we're telling people the truth. And yet people might accept it and hate the truth, but that's not our issue. But you're right, you know, a lot of them, they just deceived. Just a lot of them don't even know the gospel. That's the problem.
Yeah. You need to be pretty prepared when you go out there. Do you have scriptures already prepared?
I tell you that, first of all, the scriptures say, open your mouth and he will fill it with words. And I'll say things sometimes and I'll look at the video later and I'm like, I said that? I replied like that? But you know, I don't know how more prepared you can be than having your testimonial. You know, how more prepared you got saved. You were on a death sentence, and somebody saved you. How do you need to be prepared to tell people that? They might not want to hear it, but wow.
I was just thinking about the book of John might help too. Like, in terms of when they come at you about the hate, you know, just the love of the book. John comes across.
We've had everybody come up to us screaming at us and throwing things at us and everything else, but we don't have it half as bad as the people have during the scriptures. And we very well might, but we don't have fear. I honestly feel like there's a bubble of protection around me. You know, I have no fear when I'm out there and a guy three times the size of me, you know, comes up to me and gets right in my face and starts telling me to be quiet and then not say this and all this stuff. You know, so I take the loudspeaker right in his face and say it louder. You know, it's a demon in them. That's what it is. Because it's that same guy that'll come up to me a couple of weeks later and tell me he gave his life to Yeshua. Yes?
Yes, you mentioned your tracts. Do you have tracts that can be purchased from you?
Great question. The tracks I bring out will depend on the place where I'm in. The same thing for the shirt I wear. If I'm going to a place with a lot of drunk people, I'll wear a shirt that says, you know, put down your beer and pick up a Bible. So it depends where you're going, you know. But I have tracks specifically for these different... There's a gospel tracks. If you go to Pinpoint Evangelism, they have a whole bunch of great tracks for different situations. And you could have them custom made. But they don't use Yeshua, Yahweh, so I custom made it to change some of the wording on that. And I have the tracts with me here, and I'll give a couple of them out so you could take a look at them. One of them says American Idols, and it has a list on the front of the postcard of all the idols that Americans idolize. Yes?
Yeah, I'm a friend of God to introduce Yeshua to him. Street preaching is the last thing I thought I'd ever do. One day I was living in Toledo, Ohio, going on the street and I hear this noise bouncing off the buildings, and I walk up, and after the crowd kind of clears in front of me, this guy running back and forth across the, and I was a believer at the time, running back and forth across the sidewalk. I'm thinking, what in the world was that? But then later on I found out his name is Yeshua, you know. And it's funny, scripture says the foolishness of preaching, you know, and it really is. It's, I mean when people first confront me, well, this is the stupidest thing, you know. But I remember I was so mad and angry about it. I was like, I want to rip these people apart. And I remember thinking later, why was I so angry? You know, and then I found out why I was angry, you know, because it's the truth, you know. And it's the thing that will set you free, ultimately. You know, Paul said, I'm not ashamed. The Apostle Paul, I'm not ashamed of the wisdom of the Messiah, Yeshua, because it is the power on the salvation. And it's amazing. And I'm talking about fun. It is. Just something strange happens to you. You get out there. You feel like you finally have arrived. You know, you feel like I'm finally, you know, arrived for the purpose I'm on planet Earth. You know, and it's some kind of contentment and peace that comes. And it's like you finally earned your keep on planet Earth. You finally feel like now I'm worth, you know, being here or something. It's a beautiful thing. And it's the simplest thing that'll change a person. You can say one word sometimes, and it's like, I hate to say magic, but it's almost, it's like, man, I said something so simple, but it was so penetrating to that person. And it's just, matter of fact, when I met Paul, it was that way. I didn't even say a whole lot, but he was being set up, and most people that I talk to, it's like, man, it's just one few little simple words, and all of a sudden they see it, and then you can get real in depth with a person, and it's like it just goes over their head. So, you know, Yah's preparing the way, and he takes the opportunity, and it's the right, most beautiful thing, and it's his real blessing, you know, it's getting out there. I mean, we go through the internet and telephone and all that, and that's all great, but for some reason, it's something about getting out in the community with people, or the way it was done in, you know, 2,000 years ago. His blessing is really good.
Hallelujah. Also, another thing is, it's scripture say, if one person gets saved, yes, the angels are glorifying in heaven, you know, and shouting with cheer. It's not about numbers. That's what a lot of people think. Well, how many people will do this and this, and how many people have contacted you this and this? You know, I mean, if he didn't come out and tell me about Yeshua, you know, the timing was perfect, everything was set. Amen. You know, he's not the first person that I heard it from, but he's the first person that my eyes were opened and I got it. It's Yahweh that's orchestrating this whole thing. We need to realize that it is, you know, a lot of people today, my friends, even, I'd say more than half of the camp here will say, oh, that's kind of offensive what you said or something else. Tell me one thing I said that wasn't scriptural is my response. Tell me one thing. But we're taught and trained for so many years in the church, you don't want to offend anyone. Don't say the word repent. That repent's a curse word. No, it's not. That's what people need to be doing. They need to be repenting. You know, and he told me the greatest thing. He says, it's not just for the people out there, it's for us. It's for me. You know, I've grown greater in my closeness with Yahweh more than ever before to see exactly what Yeshua, Paul, Ezra, and all these people went through personally, on a personal level, to realize this.
Yeah, actually it encourages us. Remember the brother who came up to us and shared a word about like the Shemitah and some things about that, you know, he was encouraged by us being there.
Yeah, some guy grabbed the mic for me. He says, I've been in jail, I've been shot, I've been stabbed and everything else, and I'm standing here because of Yeshua. You know? And you know, and it works, you know, and it's you can't stop not wanting to do it once you do it. I want to go right now. You know, so it's a great feeling, and it's a blessing. And for those of you, you know, I don't want you to miss out on it. You know, and it's not. You know, you have such a great opportunity out there today. The more wickedness and darkness that's in this world, the brighter a light will seem. But just ask yourself, and how many people have I told about Yeshua yesterday, and how many people will I today? You know, and you know, it has to be at least one. You know, I remember I read Billy Graham's biography when I first got saved, and I was looking through, he said he never had a conversation with more than anyone for 15 minutes without mentioning somehow, some way, the gospel. Well, I'll knock that down to 5 minutes. You know, we need to let people know. And I trust you and me that most people that know me say, they used to say, that's that raw food guy, right? But they don't say that anymore. That's that guy that's always proclaiming Yeshua and telling people to repent or they're going to go to hell because he loves them. They don't say that part, but that's the truth. You know, so know the truth will set us free, as it says in Scripture. This is the most freeing thing I've ever done. But so people, they just don't get it. But we're having fun. We're going out there. We're doing it. You can see the videos. I just posted a video just last night. Somebody was asking me about beer. Is it okay to drink beer as a Christian? You know, and I don't want to be the only person to hear this. This is going to be the only person. So I got it on video. And by tell you that, and within 2 days, 1,000 people are going to hear my answer. You know, and it's the answer of Scripture, you know. There's greater things than beer. This girl needs to understand about repenting and understands about Yeshua. So we have an amazing time out there. We was at the Taylor Swift concert. This girl comes by, here's a free track, man. Ma'am, here's a free track. No, thank you. I like when people say, no, I'm good. I'm like, you'd be a lot better if you took this and read it. Good answer. But I get even worse. Some people will look at me and curse me or give me the finger. I'm just trying to politely hand them a track. And they look at me, curse me, and give me the finger. And one lady did that to me. And I just stood aside, and she tripped and fell. And I wasn't trying to be funny, but I said, you should have took a track. And then no more than 5 minutes later, these two girls come up to me, and they were literally dressed in the way a prostitute would dress. And they had just come with their little kid out of the Taylor Swift concert. And I was in front of the street. And they walked past me, and they gave me the finger. And cursed me, and they were walking past the street, and they were yelling at me, back yelling at me. I said, that lady just fell. You need to watch out. You're walking in the street. You need to forget about me and look out for some cars. You know, this is serious. You know, this is the most dangerous thing. People are in such a dangerous situation. When is the last time somebody told you to go out there and proclaim the good news? When is the last time? If the church spoke about that as much as they did about tithing, this would be a different world. Amen. You know, I don't want what you speak about the most is what your ministry is about. And I'd say most of the mega churches, their ministry is about tithing. Or hypocrisy, because they say the original covenant is done away with, and then they talk about something from the original covenant. Well, instead, if they would all say, go out there and proclaim the good news. Go tell people today about that. Here's some tracts we can give out. Go hand these out to people and everything else. What a different world this would be. But it's not like that. So we'll go stand in front of bars, we'll go stand in front of the amusement park, and wherever we have to, just to let people know. You know, that's one thing. There are some other organizations out there, I'll say. You know. I mean, they're knocking on doors, they're letting people know. That should bring us to jealousy. How much, if I say, about these people, everyone knows. If I say, who's going to knock on your door and proclaim it's a false gospel, but who's going to knock on your door proclaiming this? That's great. Look at the faith and the work that these people are doing to go out there to let people know what they believe. And then what do? That's the problem. And let me tell you one more thing about street evangelism before we end, since we don't have a question here. There's a commandment that says, if you love me, well, there's a saying, say, if you love me, keep my commands. And that's like the one scripture every messianic person will hold on to and say, if you love me, keep my commands. If you love me, keep my commands. You know, Yahweh has to open up our eyes to His Torah, His commands, and everything else. And if we seek, He will eventually. But I believe 90%, maybe 95% of the Christians that proclaim Jesus as Messiah truly love Him just as much as you and I do. Their eyes just haven't been opened up yet. And why I say that? I got some friends. They've even rejected Torah when I presented it from them because their eyes aren't opened up yet. But these people and our two little kids, as missionaries, went to Iraq 20 minutes from ISIS to proclaim the gospel and glorify Him out there. Nobody's going to tell me they don't love Him. That's street evangelism. They weren't standing on the corner out there screaming a name, but they went out there to do good work, and everyone knew that's a Christian organization, they're Christians, and they're out there. While we stand here and we'll argue for 6 days how to pronounce his name, they're out there on the battlefield doing what they got to do, proclaiming the gospel. Yes, ma'am.
I don't expect you to know this answer to this question, but...
what's the next question in that case?
Why do you suppose the Muslims are so strong in their faith that they'll do anything?
You know what? I saw a Muslim on TV once, and he says it becomes, when they become a believer, it becomes part of their DNA. He says, you know, Americans have no understanding of this, because we're so disconnected from the Word and so disconnected from our Creator, even believers. And that's true. It has to become part of our DNA where we'd be willing to die for the gospel. He died for us, and we should be willing to die for Him. But that is not happening. And the Muslims have an amazing faith. It's misguided, but it is amazing, and we should be jealous of that. I see Muslims again. I was in an airport once, and this lady was giving this guy a shoe shine, and all she looked at a clock, and she just stopped, and she got down on her hands and knees, forehead to the ground, right there. It's my time of prayer. I don't care who's looking or anything. I'm going to do that. You know, but I don't see Christians doing that. You know, that's a great example. You go into a Muslim country, they'll let you in, but if they find the Bible in your suitcase, they'll say you can't come in with this. You know, but the scriptures are filled with this. It's a deception that's taking place out. It's filled with it. And it says that's what's going to happen. You know what? But you could be one of those believers that have faith just as much. And the greatest thing you could do to show people that is go out there and let them know. Go out there and publicly pronounce that Yeshua died for them so they could have life. Go out there. And if you haven't done it, go out and do it. Yes, John.
I was going to say, too, I think it's helping. I believe it's in Matthew 24 where he says when we're in front of the courts or synagogues or whatever that he'll give us the words. Because it does help. It's like because most of us aren't used to talking in front of people. But when you pray, you know, we pray beforehand and it's like Allah gives us the words. And it's really cool. It's good to practice now. And I like when you guys were at the sex shop, so I wasn't there, but he said closed due to hellfire, something like that. And I thought,
yeah, well, that got the people not to come in, yeah. You know. And then, you know, the police, the video camera's important, though. This isn't about, you know, us being on video. It's really important. It's for protection. You know, it's protection, our word against anyone else's word. He said this, he said that. He threatened me. No, we don't. I got it on camera. I just proclaimed the gospel. And the other thing is with the police. The police could do that, too. They can make up whatever they want. Are you arresting me, officer? You know, tell me for what reason. Because, you know, the law today is just how the cop felt when they woke up in the morning. It has nothing to do with the law. And most of them don't know the law when it comes to street evangelism. I'm out there on the street, and I'm telling you, they don't know the law when it comes to this. I am allowed to be there at a certain decibel in certain areas to publicly speak, and they're not allowed to do anything. But they have no idea. They say, well, you're not allowed to be here because blah, 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 and all this. I know...
Relax with the thing. Put them all in the box.
Well, from the encounters I had with them, but you know, there have been some that says I'm a Christian and you could be here and you could stay here. Some of them have been wonderful, but for the most part, when it gets into the law, I bring it with me to protect me. I bring it with me that say, it shows where I'm allowed to be, and what I'm allowed to do, and so on. I have it with me. So there's been times where I had to pull it out and say, they say you're not allowed to have a loudspeaker. I'm saying, well. The city guardian says it's not only on a moving vehicle I can't have a loudspeaker. Have a good day, officer. You know, and if I didn't have that on video, I guarantee I'd be in the back of their patrol car if I acted like that. But with the video, it makes a whole different story. Yes?
I want to address her comment about Islam. Most Christians are deceived that Islam is another religion that Allah and Yahweh are the same. Is not true.
That's right.
Is not true. Islam denies the divinity of Jesus. Islam mutilates their women, has sex with animals, kills their enemies, slits their throat if they don't accept Muhammad. Allah is not a God of love. He's a God of conquest and ritualistic idolatry. And we need to be careful that we're not deceived by this mantra that
that's
Allah
right.
And
you know
Yahweh
what?
Are the same. They are not.
You know what, Dale? This is a great example. This is a great example. My suggestion is you go to the most populated Muslim area you can find and proclaim that publicly.
I'll die.
No, you won't. And if you do, who are you dying for? Because you'll proclaim the gospel. And there's people on the scriptures doing it. You see, just as comfortable you feel doing that here, go out there and do it. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm telling you. And that's what they're doing in churches. They're talking about praise Yahweh and glorifying Him in a building. Go out there and tell the world. I'm telling you, not only will you possibly not die, you might convert some people.
Amen.
Or at least open their eyes and Yahweh will convert them. You know, so folks, time's out. I'm speaking again Friday afternoon at another seminar. If anyone's interested in coming out with us before Sukkot's over, we are going to try to find a spot to go out there and street witness. So thank you guys.